It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Wall Street Journal dubbed Pittsburgh Roboburg in a November 1999 article identifying the nation's top 10 hotbeds of technology. For the past decade, Pittsburgh has been identified as one of only a handful of locations leading the country in developing cutting-edge robotics technology. This week, contributor Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, looks at the business of robotics. Rebecca Harris, welcome back. How are you?
I'm fine, Paul. I don't have anything on me that is robotics driven, but there are so many things around us that we don't realize are. We're going to talk about all those things. It's a growing industry.
Well, at the risk of oversimplification, let's just start with the obvious basic question of what is robotics? Right. How is that technically defined?
It's complex enough that it's important, I think, to go back to the basics. So it's the branch of mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, computer science that deals with design, construction, operation, and application of robots, as well as the computer systems for their control, sensory feedback, and information processing. So that's a mouthful. So these technologies deal with automated machines that can take the place of humans in dangerous environments, in manufacturing processes, or even can resemble humans in appearance and behavior or cognition. So many of
that old science fiction thing.
I know. It's like those old films and the movies and the TV shows we used to watch, Paul.
But it's happening now. It's now part of our lives.
It is part of our lives. And many of today's robots are even inspired by nature, contributing to the field, which is called bio-inspired robotics. I think it was last week on NPR, I heard a story about robots that were actually milking cows. But they had the ability not only to milk the cows, but to take the temperature of the cows, to test the milk for bacteria to serve multiple purposes and allowing the farmers to do certain work that had to be manually done. And that's a great example of an application where on a small farm, a farmer has so many things he or she has to do that this was really an important technology. But each robot costs like $200,000, but it was worth it.
Well, I guess if you've got that kind of money to reinvest in your business,
right.
How does that not freak out the cows?
I think I can't answer that question because I wasn't there. I didn't witness the cows. But, you know, they go into certain areas and it really described the ability for this gentleman to be able to go to some of his kids' games and not be up at 4 every morning and really
just send Robbie the robot out there and say, all right, time to go.
Right? It's really a growing field with so many technological advances and research and design and building new robots for various purposes. A lot of them will go in and do hazardous jobs like defusing bombs. Think about that.
That's definitely something you want to send a robot.
Yes,
and we've seen that. That often is actually a very common sight at a bomb scene.
Right.
Is that you'll send in the robot to do that.
Going into mines.
And operate it by remote control.
And then going into mines or even exploring shipwrecks. So I think we can see this application really growing.
Tell us more about the robotic industry in Pittsburgh and how it's growing.
Yeah, it's really growing, and we're really positioned to be a world leader in the development of the robotics-oriented industries, thanks really to, I think, in many parts, our industrial and our entrepreneurial leadership. We've had a wealth of technology-focused businesses, and there's a lot of institutions of higher learning that are actively pursuing this field and the development of the next generation of robotics. There's more than 60 robotics companies that reside in Allegheny County alone. And then you see many of the products coming out of CMU and the University of Pittsburgh and a joint program called the Robotics Corridor. And really all of this effort is being placed into developing the workforce and the technology. This is supposed to be an estimated like $500 billion industry as we continue to grow. And so I think is almost limitless in its ability to do different and really unique things.
And we were mentioning the November 1999 article in the Wall Street Journal calling Pittsburgh Roboburg. Mm-hmm. So how has it grown since then?
Well, what we're seeing now is we're seeing some really famous scientists and inventions that Pittsburgh can really lay claim to, as well as the development of new technology that has really had a ripple effect. We see somebody like Henry Thorne, who has been a prolific inventor and robots patent holder. He came back to Pittsburgh in the late 90s to develop a personal robot. He ended up developing a 100 tugs under a company called Atheon, and the tugs were placed in hospitals. And what they did is it automated a one-time delivery of medication or different things in the hospitals. He subsequently has gone on with his partner, Rob Daly, to found 4Moms, which is one of the region's hotbed robotics companies. We have Heather Knight, I will talk a little bit more about these companies.
Well, let's get into that. But you piqued my interest when you said personal robots. What are we talking about?
Well, I mean, there are robots that can literally go in and do like delivery systems. So they could deliver medicine. You sometimes see robots in hospitals that are going to certain rooms and corridors. So they're delivering medicine. I mean, that has been common, and now those delivery systems are what they call one-time.
Delivering medicine, not administering it.
No, I don't think that they actually administer it, but it's actually the taking of the products throughout the corridors. Yeah, saves on manpower, people power. People power.
Which may or may not be a good thing, I guess.
Well, I think that, you know, when you try to look at your resources and the best
for the
use
business,
of resources.
Certainly, right. it's a cost-saving
thing. And best use of resources, because if these skilled nurses or techs can be doing other things and not actually just moving medicines around or making sure that it is the correct medicine according to lots of scans and everything else, I mean, that's technology doing a really important thing.
Now you were saying.
Oh yes, and then we have somebody like Heather Knight, who's the founder and chief roboticist of Marilyn Monrobot. Now that's pretty cool. Jeez. I know, but you have to love it.
Okay, I'm envisioning a robot that looks like Marilyn.
Well, I mean, it's a bit of a stretch, but anyway, yeah, she is a PhD candidate at CMU and founder of Marilyn Monrobot, which
Monrobot.
I know it features comedy performances by Data the robot. She's been at the annual Robot Film Festival and a one-off cyborg cabaret, but really her research is around human-robot interactions, nonverbal machine communication, social robots. So it's remarkable. I mean, and the idea is to take something that you would think of as more of an entertainment and really apply some of these other features.
So the idea is to create a greater comfort level for
I think a greater comfort level. Yes, absolutely. And the applications and sensor designs. And she's also worked on a lot of robotics and instrumentation at NASA. So this goes to the real thing. She's also done some work on the Rube Goldberg machine music videos as well. So, I mean, the SynLab. So there's cool stuff going on in Pittsburgh.
Marilyn Monrobot. It sounds like something out of the Jetsons. We're talking with Rebecca Harris here. She's director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, looking at the business of robotics. So what major happenings in the industry are currently taking place in Pittsburgh?
So first of all, if you haven't checked out RoboWorld, which is the world's largest permanent robotics exhibition, it's part of the esteemed Carnegie Science Center, which has been a leader in developing these robotics-oriented exhibitions and educational programming. It features dozens of interactive exhibits. There are career resources. There are regional resources. There are school programs. So RoboWorld has really been a leader, and that is a not to be missed. Pittsburgh is also developed into one of these hotbeds of innovation, and we see Google and CMU working to build a driverless car. They have partnered with GM to build this a robot Cadillac that will eventually be driving humanlessly. And that's cool. Disney is here, which has tapped into the university's computer and robotics talent for years and has worked to improve its cinematic graphics and the different robots. And also, we know about Launch CMU, which is October 3rd, and they're doing a technology startup and research showcase called RoboBurg the Sequel. So that's neat. There you go.
So Pittsburgh companies which have opened and have based their product lines on robotics are really thriving.
They are really, really thriving. We see Red Zone Robotics, which is a unique company which works with municipalities, including wastewater conditions, looking at water systems. Boston Nova Concepts is creating a whole new relationship with technology and toys. And then there's the 4Moms, which we talked about initially, which is a special purpose robotics company with a flair for designs. And they really shook up the stagnant juvenile products market and started in 2006. And they use robotics and intelligence for baby gear. And that has really changed the essence of baby gear. And now you have strollers that open automatically with the touch of a button. I wish I had one of those when my kids were little.
She's our very own Marilyn Monroe bot, except she's
you're kind.
She's not a robot. A robot. She's a person. She's Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, looking at the business of robotics. As always, Rebecca, great thanks.
You're welcome, Paul.
Tomorrow, we'll look at how the world is responding to the challenges posed by climate change. That's tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh. And you can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.